Well, good afternoon, brethren. It's nice to see you. It's another beautiful Sabbath day. Always nice to be able to gather with God's people. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about when I was first called, when I was called. And I'm sure we all remember when we were called and the excitement that we all had. But if I remember, I think one question that kind of stood out for me after I was baptized is, what would it feel like to be God? Because the understanding I was getting was when training to be gods or to be like God. What would that feel like? I was baptized. I came out of the water. God's Holy Spirit was given. But I didn't feel anything. But you wonder, what when you hear you will be God, what does that feel like? What do you think about? Well, I stumbled across Galatians 5, and it began to explain that to me. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we'll read verse 18. Verses 18, probably read a couple of verses from verse 18. Galatians chapter 5. Again, we all remember our calling. And we all remember how much joy we felt, and probably we all had different questions. But for me, that was one question that was big. I wanted to understand, what does that feel like? And Galatians 5:18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, these are the results of the sinful nature where we all came from. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and it goes on and on. And ends with, in verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there are many. But he goes on to list about 17 character traits in here. That we, once being in the world, know that in some way or the other, at one point of our lives, we probably practice or had some of these traits. We were in bondage to some of these character traits. Then he goes on to say, of which I tell you before, I'm telling you before the kingdom comes, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I paused. Okay, that's serious. The goal is the kingdom of God. And anyone that does not put out these sinful nature, these practices, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Step number one. At least I understand there's something I have to put out and there's something I have to put on. But the question still begs, what does it feel like to be God? Well, our calling started with this simple realization. That's why I go there. It started with this simple realization of we have to put out the old man, put on the new man. So God gave us gifts, and you can say through his Holy Spirit, to enable us break out from this bondage and hence achieve what verse 22 says. Begins to talk about. He goes on to list the characteristics of God, which we are with God's Spirit. The characteristics of God that we now, led by His Spirit, have. And today we're going to look at one of those characteristics of God, long-suffering. We're going to look at long-suffering. How do you and I develop the long-suffering of God in us? How do you and I develop long-suffering, put simply? Well, brethren, let's start by defining what is long-suffering. And you go to the Webster Dictionary and it defines it this way. Patient, accepting pains or hardships calmly or without complaint. So you're going through difficulty, but you're not complaining. Long-suffering is patient suffering, it says, not being short-tempered. So a person who is long-suffering is someone who is showing restraint when stirred to anger. There's cause for him to be angry, but exercises restraint. It will be a person who is not quick to retaliating. That's what that simply means. Exercising restraint when you have a reason to show a reaction, whether it be anger or anything else, or pass a judgment, as the case may be. But long-suffering, because sometimes you can think of long-suffering as perseverance, which is pretty much enduring trials, going through trials. But long-suffering is different. The Bible does not just show that God is long-suffering. It also tells us why. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. It does not just tell us God is and that we have that same attribute or should have it with his spirit, but it tells us why. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. You might be there already. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise? As some men will count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And this is where it now begins to tell us why, and that should now matter to us as we begin to look at how we should develop long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all, and it is all, us in this room, everyone in the world, his love is towards everyone. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. A reversal, turning away from evil. God is not willing that anyone, even those he has not called to his truth, to perish. And he is willing to suffer, to wait long, even when they are living in a sinful nature, and he observes his creation every day and sees that. How much more us, that we have been given his truth and given his spirit and can develop this character, how much more us exercising long-suffering so that we can get through this world and enter into his kingdom. That's his purpose. We have been called. We have been given, should I say, an advantage through God's spirit to begin this journey towards the kingdom. And by example, it says God has long-suffering because that is the ultimate goal he wants for all the world. Again, we've gotten a head start. Brethren, are we long-suffering like God is? We can think about since when God called us. Have we developed in long-suffering? We've just seen that God will go the distance to have everyone in. And as we start to look at how, we'll see exactly how he exercises this and how we can emulate that so that we develop long-suffering as well, like our Father, who has heard the expression before, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm sure a lot of us have. We haven't fallen far from God's nature, if I may use that expression. We have his spiritual DNA, if I may put it that way, which means that we have the ability to look just like God. So long-suffering being a trait of God, we can develop it. When you hear the listing of the nine fruit, when you read Galatians 5, most of the other ones sound pretty much like things we would readily embrace. Love. Who doesn't want love? Right crowd. Joy. We'd all raise our hands. And it can go down the line. Long-suffering. No. That's a little bit different. Because when you hear the word suffering attached to long, you kind of back away. It's a little bit different. But we can develop it. We have God's, again, to use the analogy, spiritual DNA. It's possible. And we're going to look at again how we can do this. If we're God's children, then we must be long-suffering, because we have to be led by His Spirit, as we've read. Let's turn to James 5. James chapter 5. Let's take this point home about God's long-suffering and why He expresses it. He wants all to come to know His way and to make it into His kingdom. James 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. He endures, cheerful, waiting, long, until he receives the early and the latter rains. Verse 8, be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. We are all living at a time that we can accept we will soon see God's kingdom. We want to be in God's kingdom. And one of the key things that we do every day is make sure we become more like God. We practice to become more like God. And it is no different with long-suffering. It rightly says there, God is patient and has a long wait for the fruit of the earth. His goal, His purpose for the whole world. A powerful example for us that we must copy. So we possess this spiritual DNA, I repeat, and we wait and suffer as well for this world's disobedience to come under God's kingdom. Because with God's long-suffering, with His Spirit, we are also suffering in this world. We are waiting in this world. We are enduring persecutions in this world. We are upholding truth in this world. And that requires long suffering in a world that doesn't have that, that does not promote that, that will not uphold that, that will not endure the slightest persecution, that will not wait on God. We are living in that world. But we're reminded as we come into this season that that's exactly what Christ showed us too. That was His example. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to even be reminded that someone set that example for us to follow, and He succeeded. Let's go to Romans 3. Romans 3 and verse 24. Christ Himself suffered through this charge. And Romans 3:24 reads, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had sent forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood, He died, that we may have access to God, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through what? The long suffering of God, the forbearance of God. God is now with Christ, having come, shown those that would choose to follow God now the path. He's forbearing, waiting for everyone to hear this truth, to come to God through Christ and to walk this way of life and also get into the kingdom. God wants that. How much more important is long suffering? God wants us, as it says in the scriptures, to be what? Ambassadors of Christ reconciling the world. What one way is good to do that? Long-suffering. Showing God's light. And again, we're going to go into a couple of ways here how we can do that. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Let's look at this further. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Jesus being our guidance, knowing that we can develop long-suffering, that we can go through the world upholding truth, persevering endurance, waiting to the end. Christ is guiding us all through it. And we see this in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that we, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, you and I, perfect through sufferings. And we can go into Christ's teachings about you're going to have suffering in this world because I have gone through it. And if they hated me, they will hate you. There are lots of teachings that Christ gave his disciples showing we are going to endure suffering. But again, the point remains, we can exercise long suffering through it. And we're going to see how. Verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ again leading the way for us, his brethren, knowing that we can overcome this. Therefore, this is the charge that God gives us, Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 8. This is the charge that God clearly puts in front of us. We have God's Spirit, a free gift, allowing us to be plucked out of the bondage that we all lived in, and we can now be God's by exercising his Spirit, and long-suffering being a key part of getting through this world. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. Where we're from, God's Spirit that we've put on would help us build the character of God, including long-suffering. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, a charge for us all around the world in God's way, put on, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Think about all of the fruit of the Spirit, God says, put it on. We can put on long-suffering. Think about it like you're dressing. You come out, and someone can look at you and say, oh, he's well-dressed. And that can start to lead to so many things. They're willing to do business with you. They're willing to have communications with you, to sit down and have a coffee with you. Or basically, your appearance is what pulls people into you. And God says, put on long-suffering like a garment. Wear it. Let people see it. And again, this becomes so important given that we must, or we are, like God, practicing to be like God so that we can make it into God's kingdom Our goal today is how can we develop long-suffering? How can we develop this long-suffering? A key trait of God's personality. How can we develop it? God is long-suffering. How can we develop this and make sure that we can overcome all the pushback in this world and make it into God's kingdom? Let's start with the very first one. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's start to look at how can we develop long-suffering as God's people. And you're going to see a pattern here as we go through some of these points. You're going to see a pattern develop. 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll start to read from, I think I'll start from verse 4. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 13. I'll read verse 4. Charity suffers long. So love suffers long. Put another way, God suffers long, as we've read, and is kind. And is kind. And he goes on to talk about charity envies not, charity vaunts not, and it's not puffed up. And each one of those instances, you can put God in place of charity. He doesn't do that. But he starts by saying he is long-suffering, as we've learned, and kind. Long-suffering and kindness go hand in hand. So one way that we can show God's long-suffering is use kindness when we suffer rebuke. Use kindness when we suffer rebuke. Well, like we all learned, I'm sure we all got called at different times in our lives. Some were born into the church, and others probably came at a very young age, and some maybe a little bit older, when they were a little bit older, and even some way more down the line when they were retired. But God waited for each one of us to come to him. We read all the works of the flesh that he waited for us to rescind after him calling us to come to this way of life. Do we wait when we see others offend us? Do we wait when we're rebuked? And that is what? For practicing the truths of God, for upholding our religion, for defending the way of life that we have. So you're keeping Sabbath services, and you're deciding not to take certain types of jobs, and your family thinks that is probably the most foolish thing that you can ever do. You got a good offer to work, but it requires you working on Sundays, and you want to uphold the Sabbath. Oh, that's foolishness. Why would you do that? Well, the truth of the matter is, God, who has called me, has set me up for a greater purpose, which is to actually be a child, a son of God, and to show all of mankind a better way of life. Maybe that might not be kind enough to some. That might not be a kind enough answer. But are you willing to go through the rebuke, the rejection, because you are practicing God's way of life? And to do it with kindness. It's hard when you're being challenged or rebuked without any fault, just for practicing and upholding the truth. But God says, do whatever it is to make sure that you are reacting with kindness. Without kindness, it's hard for us to endure long suffering or to even show it. Kindness has to guide us each time we're faced with a difficulty that requires us explaining why we practice what we practice. Because it's easy for you to push back. It's easy for you to say, it's none of your business that I keep the Sabbath. it's none of your business that I don't eat pork. It's none of your business that I give a first, second, and a third tithe. Oh, well, it is my business because we're part of your family and we're trying to help you. Well, but then you look for a way to make sure that you're reaching out to them in kindness and making sure that they understand what it is that you're trying to tell them. Not being harsh. If we're practicing to reign with God, reign with Christ, we must learn to bear long by showing kindness to one another, and definitely showing kindness to even those that don't know this way of life. Instead of disagreements and holding grudges, we want to make sure that we examine every situation that we come into and make sure that we can reach each and every relationship that we have, whether it is a wife, a spouse, a son, a child of ours, make sure that we can reach them where they are with kindness, not pushback, not beating them because they don't believe our faith or they won't follow our faith or they question our faith. It's easier to do that because you believe I'm practicing the truth, I'm upholding the truth. But kindness can resolve a lot of things. Showing kindness means that we feel the pain sometimes of other people and we understand why they're asking all those questions, why they don't want us to tithe, why they want us to be like them, why they want us to spend time with them. It's normal to want to do that. And it takes you being patient to meet them where they are, to see that that's what the problem is, and to know how to respond to them in kindness to allay those concerns. But all through that process, you're suffering through the rebuke. It's not easy. You're being hit with criticisms. You're being hit with all kinds of things. It's easy sometimes even to give up and just go with the crowd. Swim with the currents. But using kindness can help us win those that would rebuke our way of life and make sure that we can get through whatever suffering that we have to endure through that moment. Again, it might be within the family, friends, or even at our workplaces. What's another way? What's another way that we can develop long-suffering? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We can develop kindness, brethren, by showing endurance through persecutions. Showing endurance through persecutions. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read verse 10. But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. This is now being written to Timothy. And at the end of the day, he is hearing about the path, the journey that has been taken. And he says, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my love, that is, my patience, persecutions, and talks about the places that he has been to and what he has endured. And he says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that will live godly, those that would uphold the truth that God has given us all the way to the end, shall suffer persecutions. But we can show endurance through persecutions. And each step of the way, as we endure every persecution that we meet, we grow stronger and are able to get through with long suffering. Because it becomes evident in our character that no matter what, we're going to uphold this truth And that becomes the driver of endurance through persecution. We'll suffer persecutions, like I said, through family. But at the end of the day, what happens is you making a conscious decision to endure it. Cheerful endurance, if you like. Staying with it. You get pushed back, I'm going to endure because this is the truth. You get complaints, I'm going to endure because this is the truth. You lose a job because you won't work on the Sabbath, I will continue because this is the truth. Because I know God will not forsake me, I'm going to get another job. How far does this need to go? How far does this persecution need to go before we give up? Can we give up? Let's go to Acts 14. Can we get so persecuted and run out of endurance that we give up? Again, ask the question another way. Is there a limit to long suffering? How far do we need to show or develop and show this long suffering? Let's look at an example. Let's look at an example here. And it's remarkable. Acts 14 and verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas and to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So even to death, Paul was saying that you will have to endure persecutions to enter into the kingdom of God. Talk about suffering long. Paul, he was showing you can suffer even to the point of death because you want to uphold that truth. And with that motivation of the kingdom, we will never fail in endurance. And by doing so, we are showing the long-suffering of God. We will suffer long for the kingdom because God suffers long for all to get into the kingdom, including us. The gift we've been given is that we get a chance to go in first. So definitely we have had a head start. And by staying with it, by enduring all the persecutions that we're going to meet, people can see the long suffering that we wear, so to speak, even if it means to death. The next one here, again, how can we develop the long suffering of God? We must fear the Lord always. Always. And there's a big element of obedience to this. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 8. How does this help us to develop long suffering? Always having the fear of God top of mind. Ecclesiastes 8. We'll read verse 10, Ecclesiastes 8:10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to them to do evil. So because we can go through life, and many do, and one of the reasons why you see many say, who is this God that you all follow? Right from creation, we've heard that he's going to come, and we haven't seen him. I've done and lived my life and enjoyed my life, and nothing has happened. Why should I follow your God? But it's saying that you're going to think that there's no judgment all through your life. But verse 12 says what? Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, again, which is what the world would think. We don't think that, brethren. Yet surely I know that it shall be well. I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Why is this important? But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. So it does not matter how long your lifetime is. It does not matter how long the ages have been. God says, at some point, I will act, regardless of my long suffering. And for us that have been given that way of life and have God's spirit and are seeking to develop long suffering, what do? We just fear God and obey him every day of our lives. And everyone else sees that and says, that is just insane. Who wants to live that kind of life? But it's the life of truth, is the way of truth, is the way of joy. But they just can't see it because they're not of God. We are of God and we see that. And what we say is, I will fear God. And that is strange to the world. But at the same time, through that fear of God, upholding his truth, we know that we are developing long suffering. Because as each day passes, in this world that doesn't know God, and as we've read through all the passages, scriptures, and seeing how we will face persecutions, and definitely as Christ did, we're also going to go through the same thing, we have to go towards the end of our lives making sure that we uphold the truth of God, which is also fearing God, obeying him. That's the key. We must obey God all the way to the end, and that shows that we have long suffering because it's not easy. It's easy to capitulate. It's easy to leave. It's easy to do that. It's not easy to practice and be converted in God's way of life. But with each day we keep going forward, what is happening is that our character is getting better, better, purified, better, and we're marching towards God's kingdom. We're developing long-suffering every step of the way. Getting hit here by family, getting hit there by our workplaces, but staying forward because we fear God. And fearing God keeps us on the track and helps us make sure that we uphold what we've been given, God's Spirit giving us his long-suffering. That is a joyful thing that we all have and that we must all seek to continue to promote every day of our lives. Wake up every day. Have I had my Bible study? You head out the door energized if you do your Bible study, because now you've learned more about God's mind. You face challenges coming at work and all other things that you might face through the day, and you have an upbeat attitude to face them. I'm going to keep going. I fear God. And you will make it to the finish line. And through that process, you are developing long suffering. Again, it's not easy to do. Another area here, we must learn to show mercy. Learn to show mercy. And put another way, we must learn to be slow to anger. Let's go to a story here, Jonah chapter 3. It's a fascinating story. I think most of us would remember it off the top of our heads. But it's interesting. Jonah shows a certain attitude, and God responds with a simple answer. Let's look at that in Jonah 3, starting from verse 9. Jonah 3 and verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? And we've seen that when God is angry, you don't want to stand in his way. You don't want to be the recipient of his wrath. So who again will God do this and that we perish not? Of course not. We will. And God saw their works, in verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, that he had said that he would do to them, and he did it not. Now, Jonah 4, verse 1, we go to the next chapter. And Jonah, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So Jonah was angry because God exercised restraint. The people here never have committed this crime. They've not obeyed me. There was every reason for God to strike them with his judgment, but he exercised restraint. And Jonah's reaction was to be very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, verse 2 of Jonah 4, I pray you, O Lord, was not this my saying? Didn't I tell you this before I left, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew that you were God that was slow. He's actually calling God to book on who God is and that he knew he was. So what was Jonah thinking? He said, I said this, I don't want to come all the way here, and here I am. And I knew you were not going to carry out the judgment, even when they have disobeyed you. Verse 3 says, therefore now, O God, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And this was God's response. Verse 4, do you do well to be angry? That was all the response that he got. Do you do well to be angry? Jonah, where's your mercy? In other words, you just said I was slow to anger. And the God of creation be slow to anger, you think to copy the God of creation. But Jonah brought his own attitude. So Jonah went out of the city, and I'm thinking at this point he's disappointed probably in himself, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. So he's waiting. Apparently, maybe he still hadn't learned what God was saying, but probably also beginning to exercise patience on God. And the Lord God prepared a guard and made it to come up over Jonah, and that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Jonah, you're going to wait a long time. Showing mercy involves being slow to anger. Because mercy is really when judgment is desired. I'm sorry, it's required. Judgment is required, but you exercise restraint. It's a quality of God's long-suffering. And we can also learn to be slow to anger. Numbers 14. Let's go to Numbers 14. And maybe I'll skip that one. And let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. As we round this up. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you work worthy of your vocation. We've been called to this way of life to walk with God. That should remain our goal. What we want to do is take on every character trait of God, and more importantly, long-suffering, because it helps us through every step of the way to be like God and to overcome this earth, the sinful nature of this earth. So in conclusion, brethren, no matter what, the kingdom of God shall surely come to us who truly, through long-suffering, uphold truth, endure persecutions, and wait on God. Make sure you develop long-suffering.